Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Truth in Pennsylvania Politics. I'm your host, Don Nevels. I've titled this show, Times Are Changing. And as we move forward tonight, I think you'll understand why. Let's get right into it. Over the past few weeks, I've been discussing some of the local elections taking place, but focusing specifically on McKeesport, which is in my district. I'm following these races close because I can't tell you how important it is, not only for the residents of McKeesport, but this entire district. Right now, anything coming into the district from Harrisburg goes through McKeesport because our state rep and Senator Brewster both live there. We all kind of know that Senator Brewster calls the shots for the city and can influence the school board by stacking the candidates, among other ways. The lawsuit they're named in spells out their hierarchy. If McKeesport doesn't elect someone who will actually work for the people, put forward good policies, strive daily to curb crime, drive a wedge into the good old boys club, and be transparent in the process, not only will their voices go unheard for another 4 years, the district will suffer as well. I mean, take a drive through there and see it for yourself. Can any of us afford more of the same? I've been on the ground in McKeesport and hearing from many citizens via private message, emails, and other means. They are truly hoping for change, but also realize the hold current establishment politicians have on the community. So after some input, here's the names I've heard most often when talking to the residents. It feels like the people in the city of McKeesport are ready and willing for real change. They've told me they see who is there for photo ops and recognize the ones who show up to do the work and not get the credit for it because they don't care about the credit. They're there to help. Now, these names are known in the city of McKeesport because they all care about the people and show it by being involved. Okay, so let's talk about the names and races. We'll start off with school board. And again, I asked a lot of people questions and, you know, who they wanted to vote for and why. I'm not going to get into all the specifics, but I'm just going to first talk about the school board. There were four names that came up almost every time. Sometimes it was three names. Most of the time it was these four names that came up as people that would be good for McKeesport on the school board. So the first one is Tiffany Wampler. Tiffany Wampler. The second one for school board that came up quite a bit was Nikita Crum. Nikita Crum. And I'm repeating these in case you're writing them down and you're just taking note of it. But, of course, you can always just listen back to the broadcast and hear it. Also for school board, there's two others. Jeff Anderson. I know he does a lot of good in the community and truly cares about McKeesport. And Mark Holtzman. Those four people are the ones that came up for school board almost every time. Tiffany Wampler, Nikita Crum, Jeff Anderson, and Mark Holtzman. The next one is for city council. There's actually two of them. And that is Don Allen and Paul Shelley. Now, I know a couple of these candidates on this list, but this input is from the everyday citizen in reference to who cares about the community and its future. I personally know one candidate, Paul Shelley, and I do want to say a little bit about him. Paul and I don't agree on much of anything politically, on a national or a state level, yet we remain friends and respect each other's opinions because that's the way it's supposed to be. But what we do agree on is the future of this district and how important it is for all of us, regardless of party. Paul has an open mind, and I know he truly cares about this community. I've seen him at events. He wears his heart on his sleeve and deeply, deeply cares about the people of McKeesport. Now, a note on Paul Shelley and Don Allen. They are both write-in candidates, meaning you'll need to, you won't see their name on the ballot. You must write it in on the blank that's provided underneath City Council. So if you want to write those names down so that you can write them in, it's Paul Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-Y, and Don Allen, A-L-L-E-N. Now let's get to the meat and potatoes of it. For the mayor of McKeesport, I find it very interesting. I've been hearing a lot of talk with what seems to be a movement building or has already been built for none other than Corey Sanders. Granted, the other two names have been brought up, but Sanders' name has come up more than the others by a long shot. It seems like the machine is also working hard against him because if control is lost, they know what's coming. Exposure of the truth scares many a politician. Remember, this election will determine who is your mayor. I know it's the primary, but the winner of this election doesn't have a Republican challenger in November. That means he'll be unopposed and boom, November comes, automatic win. So please, spread the word, tell your neighbors, talk about it, getting a haircut, call your friends, whatever it takes. But you got to get it done, McKeesport. So good luck to you. The district is counting on you. Another race I posted about this week is in Westmoreland County. Paul Costco and John Ventry for county commissioner. If you haven't seen the post, check it out on my page. You'll find it interesting for sure. It looks like I ruffled a few feathers, like I'm not allowed to do or say anything unless the party approves. Give me a break. Both candidates will do the work of the people, and I speak from experience. I've watched them fight for their positions, and both have treated me with kindness every time I've encountered them. I talked with John Ventry a few times on the campaign trail when I was running for Congress, and he's as down to earth as it gets and just has tons of great ideas. I see both Paul Costco and John Ventry as assets for the people of Westmoreland County. Both enjoy talking with the people, but more importantly, listening and offering transparency. These guys were dragged through the mud by a chairman of the Republican committee to try and remove them from the ballot. Paul and John won that lawsuit twice at the state level and by the PA Supreme Court. This infighting should not be taking place, but it does when certain people make it about them and their personal goals. So while we're on that subject, let's talk about why I believe there's chaos and division. The Republican Party, and I'm talking locally, Southwest PA, I'll actually focus on Allegheny County because there's plenty of division to go around. Ever since I was a sailor, I look at everything like life aboard a Navy ship, from businesses to political entities, including the local Allegheny County Republican Party, its committees, and the members. Like every Navy ship, there's a structure in place, a certain chain of command, and integral people along that chain. You have the captain, which you can think of as the chair. The executive officer, which is second in command, which would be the vice chair. Officers, which I look at as local committee chairs. The chiefs, which are the rest of the committee members that make up the committee. And then the crew, the volunteers, people who attend committee meetings, and really the rest of the registered Republicans in your area. So let's start with the captain. In this case, RCAC Chairman Sam DeMarco. The most important position, because it starts at the top, and he's the decision maker when it comes to supporting candidates. If the captain of the ship is a bad leader, the ship is usually a mess. And what I mean by that is the morale is low, the executive officer and officers are micromanaged and not trusted, retention of people is low, there's unrest and problems among the crew, there's accusations, investigations, and finally, a miserable crew stripped of the desire to do the job properly, if at all, thus affecting battle readiness. When that happens, you need to cut the head off the snake to restore order, meaning the captain can be relieved. I've seen it happen. I've seen complaints lodged so much over a captain, they have been relieved. I've served under bad captains before, and let me tell you, it's not easy for anyone, and it's very destructive to the mission. A good captain is decisive, firm but fair, respected by 99% of the officers, chiefs, and crew. They trust those under their command to do what's necessary for the mission. Everyone within the command knows the captain and is an easy figurehead to talk with. He knows the mission inside and out and directs those necessary to accomplish the job at hand. Always visible and welcoming unless it's otherwise necessary have always been the most successful captains I've served alongside with. Everything runs smoother because nobody is afraid to ask questions, and the environment is that of learning and growing together. Everyone benefits from this because the knowledge is flowing freely. When everyone is trusted and knowledgeable, it's actually amazing what can be accomplished. So obviously, a good captain is of utmost importance and can mean the difference between accomplishing a mission and total failure. Now, relate those two captain scenarios to the RCAC. It poses an obvious question, as it should. Does Sam effectively operate the county party as a good captain? That's not for me to decide. It's just a question for you to consider. On to the executive officer, or the vice chair, which is Lisa Bucchizzo. Extremely important job, second in command. Relied on by the chair, hopefully, to bounce tough decisions off of, so they have a solid plan. Like many second-in-command jobs, they're not in the spotlight often and take care of the admin and ensure the chair has everything they need to make their job easier. They're usually the ones making sure the events are scheduled, presentations are ready, and everything is in its place. I'm not sure what the bylaws dictate for the RCAC, but simply making a comparison, that's all. However, the most important job of the second in command, in my eyes, is to question what they feel is a bad decision by the captain or the chair and make suggestions without having to be asked. They have to be able to stand up and make their voice heard while maintaining decorum, of course. But that's how it should work. Then that same scenario poses a question like the last. Is Lisa doing what's necessary and right for the local party? Again, not for me to decide, just a question to ponder. Now let's move on to the officers. which in this case is the local committee chairs. If the chairs in charge of the committees aren't doing what they're supposed to, the chiefs or other committee members usually take up the slack. But that's all well and good, but if the chair is just riding along while everyone's doing what's necessary or barking orders or making demands, there's no respect for that seat and issues arise. That creates bad blood, then a power struggle for the chair ensues. That never turns out well, and we all know that. We've actually seen some violence lately, and this can cause violence. Or a committee that can be dissolved really fast because the people attending the meetings can't take what they see. Then it's back to square one trying to rebuild. All this infighting is a mess. When it comes to the chiefs or the committee members, they split up the duties. They focus on what they do best as a team to bring things together, like increasing the membership, coordinating signatures for local candidates, informing the people in the neighborhoods, the schools, businesses, whatever they can do to get the word out there and make this party more successful. If everyone above is doing their jobs, there should be a successful movement for this party in the right direction. However, time for me to get this off my chest about the Republican Party here in Southwest PA. And I'm not saying this to anyone specifically. If the shoe fits, slide it on and own it. As we all know, the Republican Party for many decades had a reputation of big business, uppity people who think they're better than the common citizen, the extremely wealthy, buying elections for their wealthy politician friends, and generally not caring about the people, just their agenda, money, and prestige. I think that's a fair assessment from the past. Today, there's a movement happening, and the reason the party is in such disarray is because change is coming. The new Republican Party is moving in, and there's still many around here that aren't ready for it. If you don't fit their vision of a candidate, you're scoffed at, ignored, ridiculed, talked about behind your back, and basically discriminated against. Take me, for instance. It's no secret that I'm heavily tattooed, and with good work, I might add. But I saw the eye rolls, heard the whispers, and witnessed the judgment throughout the campaign from fellow Republicans. Don't get me wrong, there's way more who accepted me than not. I met and became friends with many wonderful people and respect them greatly, but some of the others, Lord help us. Now, if I was a doctor or someone with lots of influence and money, it would have been overlooked. But that's not the case here. I was constantly judged and underestimated in my abilities by some people in the committees and other Republican officials, elected Republican officials. It doesn't bother me because I know who I am. But it sure does make others feel uncomfortable, and it really shows in the Republican Party. I always love when I talk to someone on the phone for an hour, and they're excited to meet, and then they see my hands, which has a tribute to my naval career, or I take my jacket off wearing short sleeves. I can see the panic set in, and it's friggin' hilarious. Definitely the most judgmental people I've ever met. Not all of them, of course, but I expected it, so I wasn't surprised. Those who can get past my skin colors realize I'm another person who's capable of much. Not only have I proven it throughout my life when given the chance or by creating my own opportunities, but most of it is documented. Unfortunately, some of the people from the old Republican Party I described still lurk the hallways for all the wrong reasons. They're not happy about the party that caters to people, so they hold on to their old ways and tactics to satisfy their personal agenda like an old woman clutching her pearls near a group of teenagers. They feel like they should be in control of the candidates and decide who gets the nod. And it's the very reason they need removed from their positions. They're causing conflict throughout the party, and it won't change until we're all on the same page. But I see the change happening, and it won't be stopped, only delayed by those who refuse to accept the new direction. It's part of the draining of the swamp. There's many, and I say way more than not, people on all sides of the political spectrum who give me their support, agree with what I'm saying, and look forward to change. The younger generation of Republicans I speak with all the time, they are all about the people and tired of party politics as usual. It has nothing to do with age, just the train of thought. Elections are for the people. I can't emphasize that enough. There's a time to make it about the party, and the primary election is not the time. That's the people's time to see the candidates the party has to offer. All of them, not just the ones you want them to see. We've fallen into a cycle of the local parties pushing who they want, or the local committees pushing who they want in office in the primary, with no concern as to who the community or other Republicans in the area want. Once you endorse in the primary as a local party, you do so to intentionally kill the other Republicans' chances and direct the election for your personal reasons. That creates divide every single time. You get out there and you talk a bunch of crap about the other candidates. Then when they end up as your nominee, you've already damaged their reputation and the Republicans' chances of winning. It's not like you're going to turn around and say how great they are after you bash them. This has to stop. And you wonder why we don't win, even if your county is red. Is it your red or is it the people's red? Now, I know some of you won't agree with me, and you're entitled to your opinion, but that doesn't make you right. Just like the last election. Because we're so split, we got crushed, and look who we ended up with due to the division. We didn't stand a chance. After the primary, if the entire party can't get behind the candidate, the candidates, all of them, we all lose. Democrats have this down to a science, and they don't even follow the science. Then after the election, Republicans stand around and look at each other wondering what happened. And after that, people start making posts about what went wrong, but nothing changes. It's embarrassing to stand by and watch this happen over and over again because of stubborn, hard-headed individuals that refuse to accept change. The new Republican Party is that of the working class and for the people first, before party needs. We welcome all Republican candidates. Embrace them and let the people choose in the primary. Then we support those candidates for the general election, all of us together. We shouldn't bash other Republicans and then pretend to love them when they're the nominee. It's too late for that. Let's celebrate our victories together. Please, start mending bridges, reaching out to make amends and reconnect with your fellow Republicans. And let's get on the same page so we all win. Until next time, fair winds and following seas.